Today we're going to begin here on the bottom of Yud Amud Bet, 14 lines from the bottom of Etevei, that Rabbi Yirmiyahu is going to ask Rabbi Zeira a question. Based back on the beginning of the Gemara, on Yud Amud Aleph, after the Mishnah, we had the positions of Bar Pado and Rabbi Yochanan. And there we said, Idmar Bar Pado Amar Ein Kedusha Chalal Ubarim, that Kedusha does not take effect on an Ubar on a fetus. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan disagreed in Amar Kedusha Chalal Ubarim. Kedusha does take effect on fetuses, as Rabbi Yochanan Letameh. Rabbi Yochanan the Shittato, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hikdish Chatat Meuberet V'Yalda. He is Magdish, a Chatat that is pregnant. Ratzaba Mitkaper, Ratzaba Bivlada Mitkaper. Can use either it or its fetus. But you see, from Rabbi Yochanan, you have the ability to be Magdish a fetus. Because according to Bar Pado, you don't have the ability to be Magdish a fetus. So Etevei, that's a question here on the bottom of Yud Amud Bet from our Mishnah. Mishnah says, Eimi Mirim Lo Evarim Be'Ubarim Lo Ubarim Be'Evarim. You can't do an exchange that moves Kedusha from an Evar, from a limb to an Ubar, to a fetus, and not from a fetus to an Evar. Now, Imurehu Delo Meimar. The implications from our Mishnah, or the inference from the Mishnah, are that you can't do Tmura Ham Mikdash Kodshe. But you could be Makdish them. The only restriction, the only thing that doesn't work is Tmura. But Kedusha Mi'ikara does work. So that would suggest that you could be Magdish, a fetus. Malay, Rabbi Zeira responded, and he says, Bevlade Kodoshim Hu Dikadishe. Now you're talking about a Vlad Kodoshim. The inference you can draw from our Mishnah is that a Vlad of Kodoshim is Kodesh. Malay, Vlade Kodoshim Hu Dikadishe Bikaimi. So that's talking about a Vlad Kodoshim, which is Kodesh by itself. It's not that you're Magdish it. It's an animal that was Kodesh, and then became pregnant, and therefore the fetus is Kodesh. It's a Paul Yotzei, it's an automatic feature of a Kodesh animal that if it becomes pregnant, the fetus is Kodesh. But not that you could actively be Makdish, such a fetus. So the answer is, yes, we're talking about Vladei Kodeshim, but Vladei Kodeshim that have Kedusha by themselves. Ivlad Kodeshim Be'imilanhu, Delo Avdin, Haivrei Avdin. Well, it sounds from this that only while they're inside the mother, it is that you can't do Tmura. Haivrei, once they are born, they could do, or they could perform Tmura. So you're suggesting now that our mission is discussing a case of a fetus that was a product of animal that was Kodesh. But we have a Mishnah coming up on Yud Bet Amud Aleph that says, Vatran ain't a Vlad who said Tmura. That a Vlad can't make Tmura. A derivative of Kodesh can't make another derivative of Kodesh. Tmura has to be generated through something that's Kodesh mi'ikara. It can't be generated through something that's already a derivative of Kodesh. So here, the Vlad Kodeshim is already a derivative of the original Kedusha. You're a Makdish an animal, and then it becomes impregnated. That fetus gets Kedusha, but it's a derivative of its mother. As being a derivative of its mother, when it's born, it cannot create Tmura. And our Mishnah, that we're quoting over here from Yud Amud Aleph, says that, Eimeirim Ubarim Be'Evarim or Evarim Be'Ubarim. And you're saying to me that's limited to a case, because we infer from that that you could be Mikadesh a fetus. So that's now limited to a case of an animal that becomes pregnant when it's Kodesh. Well, if that's true, that suggests after it's born, there would be no problem to make Tmura. The whole problem exists when it's inside of its mother. But is that true? We have a next Mishnah on Yud Bet Amud Aleph that says even after it's born, it can't create Tmura because it's a derivative of Kodesh. It can't create another derivative of Kodesh. So how many Rabbi Yehuda Damar Vlad who said Tmura? The Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Yehuda who says that you can. A Vlad that is born can't create Tmura. It's not clear here whether this exists or not. Tosafot eliminates the girsa over here and says that this whole remainder of the Gemara doesn't exist. Rashi says the girsa that it does exist. We'll just read it. Rabbi Yehuda, Tmurahu, Delo Abde, HaMikdosh Kodshe. So again, the suggestion you're making is if it's Rabbi Yehuda, that it's Tmura that it cannot create, but it can become Kodesh. Vama Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah now is a problem. The first Mishnah is a problem of Rabbi Yehuda. Damar Yehuda, Evarim, Lo Kodshe. You can't be Makdish, a single Aver, and have it spread to the entire body. If you're Makdish a single Aver, we're going to see that today's daf, that it doesn't spread to the whole body, it's just that Aver that is Kodesh. And you just said in our Mishnah, Ein Memirim Lo Everim Bubarim Lo Ubarim Be'Evarim, implying that you can't do that with Tmura, but with Kodesh, you can be Makdish. That means you can be Makdish an Aver. Rabbi Yehuda says that doesn't work. So how could Rabbi Yehuda be the author of Mishnah? It says, Achum Eskinim Be'Ever Neshemat Tuguyabo. Talking about an Aver, which is life-dependent, and we'll see on today's daf, that when it's an Aver that is life-dependent, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees, if you makdish that Aver, it spreads through the entire body. So, Etevei, makdishin evarim ve'ubarim, aval lo memirim. So again, what's going to be the situation in this case? Makdishim evarim ve'ubarim. You're allowed to be makdish an Aver, you're allowed to be makdish an Ubar, aval lo memirim, but you can't make them into Murah. That sounds like a pretty strong question. Here it says explicitly that you can be Magdish and Ubar. That would support the position of Rabbi Yochanan. Where it says, no, Achanami bivlode kodoshim. Talking about a Vlad Kodoshim. E Vlad Kodoshim, my Makdishim. Why do you have to be Makdish? A fetus, the mother is Kodesh, she become impregnated, and then the fetus is Kodesh. So why do you have to be Makdish the fetus? The fetus exists as Kedusha automatically. My Makdishim, Makdishim Ekaimo. Okikamar, this is what it means. Makdishim Evarim Umemirim Behen. We're going to isolate the situations. You can be Makdish and Evar, and Memir Behen. You can do both of those. Avalo memirim ivarim behen, ve'ubarim shikichu be'meimam, e memirim behen. Breaking the pieces down here, it's not like a single statement anymore. First of all, makdish ivarim, u'memirim behen. You can be makdish ivar, and that works, and the kedusha spreads to the entire body. U'memirim behen. And then on top of that, you can be memir with such an animal. That's actually an animal could create tmura. Avalo memirim ivarim behen. On the other hand, you can't take Evarim and Bememir on the others.
And that'll be the difference between Tchilat Hekdesh and Tmura. By Tchilat Hekdesh, I'm going to say that you can be Magdish even a single Evar. But over here, as we just explained, by Tmura, it says, Avalo Memirim Evarim Behen. If you have a Shlemim, if you have a whole animal, and you want to be Memir, that Tmura, bring that Kedusha over to a single Evar, it will not work. And that'll be the difference between the two of them. The first part has nothing to do with the difference between Tchilat Hekdesh and Sof Hekdesh. Now, according to Rashi, the way the Girsa reads in the Bereishis, Achi Kamar, and that's the way I explained it, Makdishin Evarim, you're able to be Makdish, a single Aver, Umemirin Behen, then after that Aver is Nikdash, and the Kedusha spreads to the entire animal, then through that animal you can create Murah. That's not considered to be derivative Kedusha, it's considered to be primary Kedusha because of being Makdish, the animal, and that's not going to be a difference between Tchilat Hekdesh and Murah. Because over here, that's the same by both of them. If you have an old animal that's Hekdesh, you can use it to be Matpis. And if you have an animal that was created through the Magdisha single Aver, and then it's being Memir, it also works. That's not a difference between them. The difference will only be in the Seifa. Tosavot eliminates the word Memirim from the Reisha because it says it's not Malev Morid. It doesn't change anything in the scenario. It says that Rashi forced himself to read it that way because the Gemara is going to ask a question about Memirim later on. But Tosavot says he doesn't think that's part of the Girsa, number one, because most of the Sfarim don't have Memirim in the Girsa. And number two is that this isn't a difference between Tchilat Hekdesh and Tmura. And therefore, Tosfot has it just read, Achi Kamar, Makdishin Behen. When it comes to Evirim, you can be Makdish them. Aval lo memirim Evirim Behen. But when it comes to Shlemim, you can't have Evirim that are affected by something that is Shalem. And that's the way Tosfot will read it. Then the last statement about Ubarim, which you're about to say, is going to have nothing to do with Tchilat Hekdesh versus Tmura. It's simply going to be a statement about Ubarim.
The Ubarim. When it comes to Ubarim, Shikidshu b'meiman, Ubarim that become automatically kadosh inside of their mother's womb, ein memirim behen, you can't create tumra through them.
And that have no effect on the position of Barpado, because Barpado says that you can't be Magdish in Ubar, but an Ubar that already exists through the fact that the animal was Kodesh, that can happen.
So the Vlad Ekochim b'meiman hu, dolo abdin tumra. So your suggestion again here is that only because it's a fetus inside the mother's womb, can you not create Tmura? Haivrai, if it was to be born, Avde, then it would work. Vatznan, Meina Vlado said Tmura, or Mishnah Yudbet, and we just said before that, Vladot, even after they're born, can't create Tmura. Hamani, Rabbi Yehudihi, the same answer again, this is authored by Rabbi Yehuda. I Rabbi Yehuda, Evarim mi koche. That works great for the Uber part of it, but what are you going to do with the Evarim part of it? Everybody late lay home eraglashel zuola kula ula. Yehuda is going to say in the second half of today's daf that if you say that this regular is kodesh, that's all that is kodesh. It doesn't spread to the whole body. It doesn't spread to the whole animal. So I'm lay off of my eskinan, but davar aso uta treifa. Or you can have it a davar shen neshamat huyaba zemachloket and the rest of today's daf about what Rabbi Yehuda says exactly when does it spread to the entire body. But there are situations where Rabbi Yehuda believes it does spread to the body, and we'll say that's the situation in our case over here. Let us say that this is a machloket tanaim over here. Hashochet et achatat umatza ba ben arba chai. Sheks achatat, and inside of it all you find a 4-month-old fetus. Tani chada, we have one bright that says, ina nechelet ele zichrei kuna, vena nechelet ele lifnim min aklaim, vena nechelet ele liyom achad. That's just like a chatat. Those are the requirements of a chatat. A chatat is only eaten by the male kohanim. It's only eaten inside of the azara. And it's only eaten for one day and one night. So that would mean that the fetus does have kedusha. V'tani yidoch. Another bread that says, that it can be eaten by anyone. You can eat in any place meaning in Yerushalayim, in a Chalim Le'olam. You can eat it forever. It's Chulin. It's my love. Nahi. The Mazav Kedusha Chalal Ubarim. One of them says Kedusha is Chalal Ubarim, therefore this Chatat, when you shecht it, the Ubar also became Kodesh, and that's why you have two Chataot here. Mazav Ein Kedusha Chalal Ubarim. So that's Machloket Rabbi Yochanan Rabbar Pada that matches up with the Machloket Tanaim that we have. It says, lo, that's not what they're arguing about. Hani Tanai Bahakal Mifligate. This is what they're arguing about. Marsav Vladot Kodeshim Bahaviatan Ein Kedushim, Marsav Vladot Kodeshim Bemeiman Ein Kedushim. Machloket is when a fetus becomes Kodesh. An animal that is Kodesh, and then becomes impregnated. When does that fetus attain the kedusha of its mother? So one says, "Be'aviatan in kedushim." When they become real. Become real means once they're born. When they are born, they attain the kedusha. While they're inside their mother's womb, they're a zero. As soon as they're born, that's when they attain kedusha. The other one says, "Be'me'iman in kedushim." They're automatically kadosh from the moment they become impregnated. As long as they're fetus, they're kodesh. So that'll be the machloket over here. You have a non-viable entity here. So while it's in its mother's womb, the question is it kodesh or not? According to one who says, Me'iman is kodesh, yes. One who says, Babiatanya, hey, you can't, this animal, when you take it out, it's not going to exist. It's not going to function. It's not going to survive. So it never contains that kedusha until it's born into a viable being. Vibaitema. Another way to explain this machloket is chatanhu. It's actually not a machloket, it's a single tana. And hada mehelein matnita v'makdish v'heima v'achar kach nitabra. One of the brightest is speaking about a case where you're makdish the chatat, you're makdish the female animal, v'achar kach nitabra, and then it became impregnated. V'chada minon, and the other brightest is speaking about shehikdish mi'uberet, you're makdish it while it was pregnant already. The difference between them will revolve around whether the animal had the fetus inside of it or not when you were makdish it. So if you're makdish it, and then it became pregnant, then there is no kedusha necessarily. But if you makdish it while the ubar is inside of it, that already they're both existing when you make the kedusha. So the kedusha is chala on both of them. So maybe that's the way to explain the machloka between them. And that actually would support the position of Rabbi Yochanan. Yeah, the way Rashi is explaining it is that Babiatan ain't kedushim. Therefore, if it comes impregnated, it's not kodesh yet, because until it's born, if it existed at the time, Rabbi Yochanan says you makdish it, it becomes kodesh right away. But you could explain the other way around and said, this is according to Bar Pado. According to Bar Pado, when you're Magdisha, when the Uber is in there, it doesn't take effect. And, what if it becomes impregnated? Well, that was the case because it's Bemeiman him Kedoshim, and therefore it becomes Kodesh at that case. So you could explain it according to both of them, though Rashi only explains it according to Rabbi Yochanan. Alright, next, Gumara. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Kil'ayim vitreifa biyotze dofen tumtum vanjoginus, lo Kedoshim velo Magdishim. They cannot accept Kedusha, and lo makdishim, and they cannot give off kedusha. Vamar shmo, lo kedoshim bitmura. What does that mean? Makdishim and kedoshim. They cannot become kadosh bitmura, velo makdishim lasot tmura. And they can't be makdish to make tmura. So number one is they don't accept tmura. If you have a kodesh animal, you try to transfer onto it, it doesn't work. Velo makdishim lasot tmura is if they are kodesh, then they cannot create tmura. So you already see the problem. That assumes that they could be kodesh in some way. Here you have a case of, let's look through the list. Kilayim, Treifa, Yotze, Dofen, Tumtum, Androginus. All these cannot create Tumura, meaning they cannot exchange their Kedusha into something else. But how do they become Kodesh to start with? And the one that we're going to focus on is obviously Yotze, Dofen. It's a caesarean section. How did it become Kodesh before it was Yotze, Dofen? Where's that situation? Where do you have that case? The Mar says, V'tanyo, Amar Rabbi Meir, Mi'achar She'enam Kedoshim, Heach Makdishim. If they can't become Kodesh, how can they be Makdish something else? So here's the explanation. The behema was kodesh and then became a treifa. You're makdish the vlad while it was in its mother, and then it came out in the cesarean section. Came out not through the birth canal. Alma, there's your conclusion. Kodesh vlad. You could be makdish of vlad. It's straight out here. Somebody says, Amri b'tam. When it comes to a tam b'mei t'mima. If you're talking about a tam, an animal that is ru'uy the mizbeach, inside of a mother who is ru'uya the mizbeach, avilu bar padam mama mode the kodesh. He agrees then you can be makdish the vlad. Lo nechloku, this machloket between Rabbi Yochanan and Bar Pada is a much narrower machloket. They're only arguing a little bit tam, but may balat mum. When you're talking about a fetus that's good for the mizbeach, inside of a mother who is not ru'uya the mizbeach, she's a balat mum. So over there, that's where they're arguing. Since the mother never attains kedushat haguf, hu nami lo kodesh. Therefore, the vlad can't attain kedushat haguf. It can't be ruah the mizbeach. They're two separate entities. Fine, the mother can't accept Kedushat HaGuf, but who Kedush Kedushat HaGuf? The baby can accept Kedushat HaGuf. Then Lishna Achrina, Aval Kilayim Tumtum Adroginus, Yatam Motze Ela Bevladei Kodshim. All of these you can only find, all of the remainder that you can only find in Bevladei Kodshim, Uka Rabbi Yehuda, Sheomer, Havlad Ose Tumurah. And it's a case like Rabbi Yehuda who says that Havlad can make Tumurah. Alein Hulu Dolo Kodshi Gufayu, Avalu Burim Acherim Kedoshim. That's true about these types of mumim, all these problematic mumim, kilayim, tumtum, adriganos, all these types, you can only find them when they were vladot kodashim. But from there it sounds like they don't have kedushat haguf. But ubarim, a regular ubar, would be kodosh kedushat haguf. Amar Abaye, tam b'mei tmima, divya kol kodish. That's right, that inference is correct, because when you're talking about a tam instead of a tmima, everybody agrees to that. So the only question is, kiplige b'mei balat mum. You're talking about inside of a mother who's not ru'uya l'mizbeach. The parbat server came to me, nami lo kodesh, gufa, ihu nami lo kodesh. Since the mother can never attain kedushat haguf, so too the fetus can never attain kedushat haguf. El adme, it can only be for its monetary value to put it on the mizbeach. Rabbi Yochanan Savar, ubar la verachim mohu. Rabbi Yochanan says that the ubar is not an extension of the mother. Va'avagav the ime, lo kodesh, lo gufa, v'la mi'a kodesh gufa. They look at them as separate entities. Since they're separate entities, the ubar can attain kedushat haguf, even though the mother cannot attain kedushat haguf. Right? So almost in a sense, this is an explanation of the previous piece, which is why did Rabbi Yochanan and Bar Padua disagree about this issue of a fetus inside of a balat mum? Can you separate it from the mother? Is it yerachimo or not yerachimo? So again, in the case where they're both the same status, they're both going to attain kedushat haguf, it doesn't matter, because if you're makdishit, whether it's yerachimo or not, the vlad can attain the kedushat that you need. The problem is when the mother is not ru'uya, how does that impact on the vlad? If you think it's yerachimo, Bar Padua says you can't do anything. It can be no better than his mother. Rabbi Yochanan says it's lav yerachimo, therefore you can separate them out, and it can be whatever you want. It can be independent of its mother's kedusha. Don't rabbanan. Yochalo me raglash zuola teikula ula. I would think that if you were makdish and leg of an animal to be an ula, that the entire animal would become an ula. Tamal omar kol asher yiten mimenu la'Hashem yeh kodesh. From whatever you give of it to Hashem will be Kodesh. Mimenu l'Hashem v'lo kulu l'Hashem. Mimenu implies a portion of it. So even a portion of it became Kadosh, that this leg be Kadosh, not the remainder. Yochol teitzei l'chulin, I would think it would have no impact. Tamalomar yet Kodesh. That it is Kodesh, it remains Kodesh. Haketzah, what do you have to do? Timacher l'tzorcheolot. You sell the entire animal to be an ola. V'damel chulin. Chutz midmei ever shibba. And the entire money to you is considered chulin, except for that single avir that you were makdish. Divir Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda are suggesting here, when you were makdish a single avir within the animal, that avir remains kadosh. Since it's kadosh, you can't go ahead and shech the animal for chulin because the leg is kadosh. The leg is kadosh and you shech the animal, it doesn't work because you're shechting kadoshim, which you don't have a right to do. So the only way to solve this problem is to sell the animal as an olah. And you sell the animal as Allah, then the remainder of the animal that's not Kadosh B'Allah now will attain that Kedushat Allah. And therefore you can sell the animal aside from that leg. You'll receive money for the remainder of the animal that's Chulin. That leg will remain in, or attain now full Kedushat Allah because the entire animal now is an Allah. Now Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon Omer, this is the way they dash in the Pasuk. Minayin Omer Raglash Azu Allah Shekula Allah. I don't know if you are Makdish the single leg of an animal into an Allah, then the entire animal then becomes an Allah. Shinemar, kol asher yiten mimenu l'Hashem. Kushomer yeh kodesh, says, if you can give any portion of an animal to Hashem, and then the pasuk continues, yeh kodesh, l'rabot et kulat, to say, not only is that piece kodesh, now yeh kodesh, the entirety of the animal becomes kodesh. So now let's understand this, machloket, amar mar. Timacher, the tzorche olot, it'll be sold to be used as olot. So another purchaser comes along, he made a neder to bring an olah, and he purchases his animal from the individual who's makdish, a single avir of this animal, and therefore the money is now chulin in his hands except for that leg. He's taking care of his requirement that the leg itself be kadosh, according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. And the other buyer who needed an olah, he found himself an olah now. Does that really work? Because we have a problem. Which is, this individual promised to bring an olah, all of a sudden he's bringing an animal missing a leg. He's bringing an animal where the leg, yes, is kadosh, dushat olah, but somebody else made it kadosh. It's not his olah. He said, I'm going to bring an olah. Now he's bringing an olah with that one leg. One leg belongs to someone else, that it's an olah. How does that discharge his obligation to bring an olah? In terms of ownership, in terms of breakdown of this animal, the entire animal, except for this leg, belongs to the buyer. who's trying to make an olah, bring an olah, and the leg belongs to the original seller who was magdishit. But now we have a problem for the buyer. The buyer said that I was going to bring a korban olah. Korban olah means an entire animal. Yet he's bringing something missing a leg. So Amar Rava, no problem. But Omer Harei Alai olah bichayeha. It's not a problem. It's a case where he says I'm going to bring an olah bichayeha. Rashi brings two interpretations of what this means. Either bechaya means be'ivirim shemechayim uta, talking about the limbs that give it life. So only life-dependent limbs. I'm going to bring an olah of life-dependent limbs. So he basically promised not to bring an entire olah. He promised to bring an olah of the limbs that are neshamayat kuyabo, that the life is dependent on. And over here, he was makdish the leg, which wasn't neshamayat kuyabo. And therefore, they each can have their obligations discharged with this single animal. The Lishna Achrina Rashi quotes from the Yushalmi is that he says, "Kezuza midabe behemad olah." I'm going to give a zuz from this to an olah. So here again, he didn't promise an entire olah; he promised a portion of an olah that I'll do give a certain amount of money towards an olah. And as long as he expends that money or gives that portion of the animal to be an olah, then he's discharged his obligation. So again, he didn't promise to give an entire olah, and therefore the fact that the leg is not owned by him is not a problem in terms of discharging his obligation. Now, based on the first explanation, which is our Gemara over here, the Gemara now continues and says, the reason that it has to be an Aver She'ena Nishamat Liyabba, so that means that he promised to bring, this buyer promised to bring an A Korban that had Averim of the Nishamat Liyabba. The first party was only Magdish and Aver, the leg, when it wasn't Nishamat Liyabba. Because had it been Nishamat Liyabba, then even Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Meir agreed to the position of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon. And that is, Amar Rav Chista, Mode Rabbi Yehuda, Bedavar Shoseh Ota Treifa. Rabbi Yehuda agrees that if you were Makdish and Aver, that makes it into a Treifa, that the Kedusha spreads to the entire body. Rav Amar, Bedavar Shoseh Ota Neveila. Only if it's an Aver that makes it into a Neveila, does it spread to the entire body. Rav Sheshet Amar, Bedavar Shein Meita. Only an Aver that if you remove it, it dies, that will create Kedusha on the entire body. But we see from here, at least, Rabbi Yehuda agrees, in certain instances, if you're Makdish, a single Aver, that it does spread to the whole body, depending on what that Aver is. If the Aver has no impact on the animal, then it's just that Aver and nothing else. If the Aver has impact on the animal, then we have a machloket amarim. How much impact it has to have before it spreads to the entire of the body. There's a note here that this Gemara we actually saw back in Erachin, and we also saw a similar Gemara about a different machloket back in Bechorot. And as the Tosafot notes over here, we're going to have a machloket here between Rav and Rav Chista. The Tosafot says that back in Bechorot, the Gemara came out to the exact opposite conclusion. The next line that we're going to read in the Gemara in Bechorot has the exact opposite conclusion. And the Tosafot says, that's not a problem. This is one of those sugyot hafuchot b'shas. Sugyot that get flipped around in shas. Like as if that's a common thing. They don't see any problem with this, but there are some times in shas that you have a sugya that reads one way, and then you go somewhere else. And the sugya comes to the exact opposite conclusion about the same amoraim. I don't know if Tosafot means by that, we either have a problem in one of them. One of them's right, one of them's wrong, or we had two different misorot about what their positions were. And therefore, one Merusekta has one Misorah, the other Merusekta has another Misorah. Or he thinks there's a Girsi issue. It's unclear what does that mean, but he's willing to accept and says that it's not a problem to have these Sugyot Hafuchot. What's the difference between Rav Chista and Rava? What's the difference between a Nevela and Treifa? What's the Nafkamina? Igbenayu Treifa Chaya, a Treifa that can live. Rav Chista, Savala Kamandamar Treifa Ein Chaya. Rav Chista holds like the one who says that a Treifa cannot live, cannot exist. And therefore, if you Makdish a limb that is a Treifa, that's as if you were Makdish the whole animal. Rava Savala Kamandamar Treifa Chaya. Rav holds like the Mandamar that a Treifa can survive. Therefore, there's not automatically condemned to death. If it's a Treifa, if you're Makdish such an Aver, it won't spread to the whole body because that type of Treifa does not ruin the animal. Ma'ika ben Rav the Rav Sheshet. What's the difference between Rav and Rav Sheshet? What's the difference between a Nivela and Davar Shehim Meita? Rav says, Ika ben Ayu to Rabbi Elazar. The difference between them is Rabbi Elazar, Damar Rabbi Elazar, Nitna Yerach V'chalal. If the leg was removed with the hip joint, Shala Nevela, then it's a Nevela. Now according to this is a case where you remove the leg, the hip joint, and how do you know how much that is? That's when it crouches down, you can still see the missing joint. You can still see the missing piece over there. So that's so much of a Nevela. The Rav is similar to Rabbi Elazar, that it's automatically a Nevela. Even if the animal is still alive, it's a walking dead animal. When you take away that much of the leg, including the hip area, you take away that whole joint, and it's visible, that animal is a walking dead, it's a Nevela, even if it's still alive. And therefore, Rabbah holds like him that Nevela is enough to be classified as being quote unquote dead. And if it's dead, then it could spread to the whole animal. If you makdish that portion of the animal, the kedusha spreads to the entire animal. On the other hand, Rav Sheshit does not hold closer like Rabbah Lazar, and therefore he needs it to actually be dead in order for you to be able to have the kedusha spread from that aver to everything else. You take off something that will cause the animal to be dead, that's enough. If it's just as if dead, that's not enough. So I'm a Rabbi. Rabbi comments on this machloka between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon. Nirin divrei Rabbi Yehuda b'davar she'ena neshama tluya bo. Rabbi Yehuda's position makes sense when we're talking about an Eiver who's not life-dependent. But divrei Rabbi Yossi b'davar she'ena neshama tluya bo. And Rabbi Yossi's words make sense in a case where it's an Eiver that is life-dependent. La miklal de pligi alei de Rabbi Yehuda. Sounds like they argue here. If Rabbi says that I like his opinion here and his opinion there, that means that they're arguing in both situations. That means that they're arguing both in a situation when it's a life-dependent limb, and in a situation when it's a non-life-dependent limb. And that goes against what we just said by these three Amoraim, that Rabbi Yehuda agrees when it's life-dependent, depending if it's a treif, a nevela, or a dead. Any of those, all of them agree, at least at some point, there is an ability to have the animal, where it's an aver and shemat luyabo, become kadosh entirely from this one aver. Yet, Rabbi is saying, I like Rabbi Yossi's position when we're talking about a case of neshamat luyabo. That means that Rabbi Yehuda argues in that case. He wouldn't have to say Rabbi Yossi is right if Rabbi Yehuda didn't argue. If Rabbi Yehuda agreed, he wouldn't have to say Rabbi Yossi is right. Therefore, it shows you that Rabbi Yehuda is still arguing in that case. That makes sense. We can make sense of a Rabbi statement when you're talking about Rabbi Yehuda's position. I like Rabbi Yehuda's position when we're talking about a non-life-dependent limb. From there, you can infer that Rabbi Yossi still argues in that case. And that makes sense. Ella, what are you going to do with the other half? That makes sense because we agree. Everybody agrees when it's she'ena neshama tluya, but it's not a life-dependent limb. That's where they argue, even the three Amoraim. Ella, what are you going to do with the second half of Rebbe's statement, which is nirin divrei Rabbi Yossi, v'divar she'ena neshama tluya bo, that I like Rabbi Yossi's position where we're talking about a life-dependent limb. La mechla de peligalei Rabbi Yehuda. That sounds like Rabbi Yehuda argues in that position. But tiyufta de kulu. That's a strong question that undermines the position of all these Amoraim. It says, lo asturei mechsira. We're missing words in Rebbe's statement. But often time, this is what you should have said. Nirin divrei Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda b'davar she'ena neshama tluya bo. Rabbi Yehuda likes Rabbi Yossi's position when we're talking about a life-dependent limb. She'af Rabbi Yehuda lo nechlak alav elo b'davar she'ena neshama tluya bo. Because Rabbi Yehuda only argues in a case where it's a non-life-dependent limb. Aval b'davar she'ena neshama tluya bo modilei. He agrees to him. So we reread Rabbi to say, yes, Rabbi Yossi's position I like by life-dependent limbs, but that's because Rabbi Yehuda agrees in that case. That's why I like Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda are saying the same thing in that case. They argue about the other case when it's not life-dependent over there. I like Rabbi Yehuda's position better than Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi does not agree to Rabbi Yehuda's position there. So by Ravo, so now we're going to extend this machloket and try to understand how far does it go. Ba'of mahu. If you magdish an aver and an oaf, what's the din? Behema my rachmana. The pasuk that we quoted is talking about a behema. A lot of behema here, and this doesn't qualify to be behema. Odilma korban my rachmana. The pasuk's talking about a korban. The behema is an example. We're speaking about in the context of korban. Vainami korbanu, and an oaf is a korban. Teku. We don't know what their positions, respective positions would be with regards to an oaf. Whether with their positions only exist by a behema, or their positions would even exist in the face of an oaf. By Robo, Robo has another question. Hiktish aver le damav. So first of all, he was magdish and aver for damim. Not like the case that we saw above. The case above is magdish and aver like dushat aguf. And then we say it spreads to the entirety of the body according to Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, that aver itself becomes kadosh, nothing else. And if it's shenish lamat tluya ba, then it spreads to the entire body. But Rabbi wants to understand here. I take a male animal, the damav, for its value, not to bring it on the mizbeach. The value of that limb, I will then use to bring a korban on the mizbeach. Mi amar came in the nachtolek dushat damim, nachtolek damik dushat aguf. Do I say migo that dushat damim works over here? Also, dushat aguf works here. And since you're a magdush one aver, it spreads through the entirety of the body. Odilma, chad migo amar, tre migo lo amar. I'm willing to say as if, or it will become in one instance. But I can't do that in two instances. So the question that Rava poses here is, I know that I have opinions here that if you are magdish a single aver, it can spread to the entirety of the body. That talks about if I was magdish the single aver to go on the mizbeach. I was magdish it for its mizbeach, and then it should end up on the mizbeach. Then when it spreads the entire body, I say, okay, the entire animal now belongs on the mizbeach. That's one step. I was makdisha single aver. It spreads to the entire body. Now, the other step that I want to now take is what happens if I was only makdish that aver, that single lamb, for its value. I want its value to be brought on the mizbeach. So I say, you'll sell this lamb, and then that value I'll use to purchase an animal that'll go on the mizbeach. Now, once you do that, what happens? Can I say two steps now? I have kedusha in this leg, and that kedusha is only kedusha tamim. It's roi the mizbeach. Can I then I say, well, you have an animal here that's roi the mizbeach. You can't be makdish for its value. You have to makdish its goof. And therefore, since you said kedusha tamim, it turns into kedusha goof. Once you turn it into kedusha goof, now maybe should it spread to the entirety of the animal? It should extend to the whole animal, like we said before. So that's his question. The question revolves around whether I can say two as ifs. Since you made it into kedusha tamim, it turns into kedusha goof. Since one aver is kedusha goof, now it spreads the entire body. I only know about one of those two steps. One of the two steps is as makdish, a single aver. For kedusha goof, it spreads the entire body. But now you want to take two steps. Another step, which is making kedusha tamim to turn into kedusha goof. So Gemara says, let's answer this from another statement of Rava. Dama Rava, ikdish zachar de damav. We had this earlier. If you makdish a zachar for its value, kadosh kedusha goof. It doesn't work, and it turns into kedusha goof. Gemara says, that's not a comparable case. Over there is makdish the entire animal for damim. So there's only one switch that's happening. It's turning from damim into goof. But then, over here you only makdish one aver. So you're asking for two things to happen. One is that the kedushat damim turns into kedushat goof, and then the kedushat goof spreads the entire body. Independently, I know each one of those is true. I know if you're makdish the entire animal to damim, and it was rolling them his back, it turns into kedushat goof. I know if you're makdish a single aver for kedushat goof, it spreads the entire body. So independently, I know that each one of those works. The question now, if I bring them together, can they work? Can you have both of them work on a single animal? Can I say if you're makdish one aver, the kedushat tamim, the kedushat mizbeach, that it turns into kedushat goof, and then from kedushat goof spreads the whole animal, and that Gemara leaves as a teiku. Now the question was asked, oh,
Rabba.
Hikdish chad aver ma'u begiza. If you're makdish a single aver, can you shear the animal? Rashi points out that the question is not about avoda. Avoda you certainly can't do because it's machish. It makes it weak, and it'll weaken that aver, and therefore you're utilizing kodesh and you can't do it. The question is about giza, which has no impact on the avarim. Can you shear this animal? It says, Tiv shalacha mehadetanyo, shalom out from this bright, alo takoz bechotzonecha, avalata guezeiz b'shelcha b'shelacherim. When it comes to a bechor, you're not allowed to shear a bechor. But from that we infer that you're not allowed to shear something that is only yours. But something that is yours, and shel achirim, achirim here being an ovin kuchavim, shared ownership between you and a goy, there, you can shear it. So why don't we say the same thing over here? Here you have joint ownership with Hekdesh. You own the remainder of the animal. Hekdesh owns that limb. So let's say that the iser of lo tagoz doesn't apply to such an animal. Where it says, how can you compare the cases? Hatam lo nachalek dusha klal. Over there, the fact that the ovin kuchavim has ownership of this animal prevents kedushat b'chora from ever taking effect on this animal. So therefore, it never became kadosh. That's why you can shear it.
Tosafot notes that Rashi in Bechorot says not necessarily that it has to be that there's no kedusha at all, but even according to the Man number that the shutafut from the goy allows kedusha to take hold here, still not kadosh lahakriv. Still not kadosh because you can put it on the mizbeach because you have a half patur, half chayav bechor. So it has kedusha, but not kedusha to end up on the mizbeach, which is different than our situation over here.
Hocha nachalei kedusha. Over here, clearly there is kedusha. The kedusha half, you were able to be makdish atzuneiver. When you makdish atzuneiver, that kedusha takes effect. Lishnachrina, another way to do this, hatam in biadolak tisho, achu biadolak tisho. Over there, right before, you can't be makdishit. So therefore, it doesn't work at all. Over here, you can be makdishit because you can makdish a single aver, and you have control over the animal in such a manner. Over there, you have no control over the animal. It's all about the kedusha being chal by itself. Since the ovin kuchavim is there, you can have no control over the kedusha being chal or not being chal.
Abaye
asks
Rabba.
Hikdish ora mahu ba'avuda. If you're makdish, the skin, what is it doing with regards to working such an animal? Tashma, let's understand. Omer mashu b'meya shel zu ola. Person says that the fetus inside of its animal is an ola. Muteret b'giza basura b'avoda. You can shear it, but you can't do avoda in it. You can shear it because it has no impact on the fetus. You can't do avoda with it. You cannot do avoda in it because the avoda weakens the fetus that's inside the animal. It says there it's a surah mi'avoda. It means that's only on din derabonon. I'm asking on the doraita level. What's the din with regards to avoda? Yochi, where it says, well, if it's only the Rabbanon, afilu begizan amititzar. Why weren't the Rabbanon also oser shearing? Malay avoda the mikachasha avoda that we can zit gozrei by Rabbanon. The Rabbanon therefore goes there that you can't do it. Giza shearing that doesn't affect the ubar lo gozrei by Rabbanon. So therefore,
Gemara leaves Abaye's question about the Doraita level as inconclusive because we don't have any proof from the Braita brought by Rabba, which is talking about a level de Rabbanon.
So by my name, Abaye, my Rav Yosef. Hishlamim v'vlada chulin. It is Hishlamim and it's Vlad is chulin. V'shachata bifnim. And you shecht it inside the Azara. L'manda Amar, according to the one who says Vlade kodshim b'aviyatan hein kedoshim, that a fetus only becomes kodesh after it's a viable baby, after it's born. Mi'avi chulin b'azara lo. That shechting this animal inside the Azara, are you bringing, are you doing shechitat chulin b'azara? The only time that we have a problem of shechitat chulin bifnim is if you have an alternative. The alternative means, if the place is too far away, that you have to shecht, you zavachta, you shecht the animal, you perform shechita on the animal outside of the mikdash. You perform shechita on chulin outside the mikdash. That's where you do it. The inference from that is that inside the Azara, you don't. When it's not rechuk makom, when it's karov makom, you're not allowed to do it. So if you have the option to shecht such an animal outside the mikdash, then you may not bring it into the mikdash to shecht it. That's maybe chulin the Azara. Over here, you don't have that case. Over here, you can't shecht it outside of the Azara. You have the mother who's a shlamim. You can't get to the fetus independently, so there's no way to shecht the fetus outside of the mikdash. So since there's no way to shecht this chulin outside the Azara, there's no restriction against shechting it inside the Azara. The opposite case. If it is chulin, and its fetus is shlamim, shechta b'chutz. And then you shecht it outside. Mahu, are you mimi v'chayiv alei mishim shkutei chutz alone? Is the fetus now a problem with shkutei chutz? Malei mi karina and bei v'yum l'Hashem. You can't say about this animal to bring it to Hashem. The mother cannot be shechted in the Azara because that's chulin, maybe chulin the Azara. So that would be a problem in terms of shechting the mother inside. Since you can't bring it inside, therefore, when you shecht the b'chutz, you're not chayav, or lishna achrina, which is something that we've seen before, you're only chayav in shkutei chutz when you could have otherwise brought it into the Azara and shechted it. It could have been ro'i lemizbeach. If it was ro'i lemizbeach bifnim, then it's a problem shkutei chutz. Over here you don't have that. You can't have it be ro'i bifnim because the mother is chulin. As long as the mother is still there and the fetus is still inside the mother, you shecht the mother inside, you may be chulin Azara. So that is not qualified l'petachol mo'ei. Since it's not qualified l'petachol mo'ei, there's no chiyuv of shkutei chutz. You're not supposed to do it. But if you do it, you only be chayav shkutei chutz. You have to wait until the fetus is born. Once it's born, then you can separate the two animals. Again, this latter question of Abaye according to Rabbi Yosef is according to one who says, B'mei iman kedushim. That they're already kadosh inside the mother's womb. So therefore the shlamim exists inside the mother's womb as being kodesh, not when it's born. The first question was relying on the one who says that they're only kodesh when it's born. Therefore he asked the question. The second question here revolves around the opinion that it's actually kodesh b'mei iman, and therefore you have an ubar that's kadosh inside of the mother, and that's the question, can you bring it to the Azara? Since you can't bring it to the Azara, therefore you're not chayav shkutei chutz. Okay, we'll stop over here.